Last week we shared with you out of the text in Hebrews chapter 12, pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. We shared with you how that's the wild card and that trouble can come when a root of bitterness is there. And this week we are going to talk a little bit about that. Ms. Jenny's really principally going to talk about it because we thought we knew what a root of bitterness was. And we have discovered we did not know what it was. And so we're going to try to help us all understand what a root of bitterness is today. So let me introduce to you my wonderful wife of some almost 39 years now. And she's going to share the word with you this morning. You guys, Kyle, make sure we got this thing on record so we can get Miss Jenny's message. Miss Jenny has a track record that she breaks the sound systems.
Isn't that the truth?
That the enemy is so opposed to the word of the Lord that she brings to us on many occasions while we've recorded everything we've recorded for months on end with no problem. She'll preach a message and that'll be the one that doesn't get recorded.
This is true.
So as technologically as we know how, let's try to get this one, okay?
Okay, right. And I'm having a little bit of distance issue with between where this table is and where my eyes focus. So we'll just have to kind of work about that around that because I have a bunch of scriptures. Pastor and I typically talk about what do you hear the Lord saying? And, you know, through the week for the message and so on and so forth. Lots of times he'll say, I know exactly what the Lord wants me to do. And then sometimes we spend time talking about that. And so we were reflecting on last week's message. And I think one of the key things was that the scripture goes on to say this root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble whereby many are defiled, like Esau, who gave up his inheritance for one morsel of food. And the punchline of Pastor's message last week was, what are you giving up for a bowl of beans? Any of you remember that? What are you giving up for your bowl of beans? What part of your inheritance are you sacrificing in order to have your way? What part of your inheritance are you giving up so that you can be comfortable or so that you can not have to deal with an issue or because you're giving into your emotion, the emotion of the moment, like Esau did. I'm starving. I'm starving. I'm going to starve to death. You know, just emotion way over the edge. And because of that irrational thinking and emotionally based thinking, He gave up his inheritance and said, give me those beans, give me those beans. Well, what will you give me for these beans? What will you give me for this bean soup? Will you give me your inheritance? Yes! You can have my birthright. I mean, it was just so over the top. But, you know, we do that sometimes too. Out of the emotion of the moment, we make vows. We say things out of our mouths. We speak to other people in an unkind way. We make rash decisions, you know. Well, I'll show you. You want to act that way? I'll show you. I'll just take my toys and go home, or I'll just pack my bag and leave, or, you know, I'll just take the car, I'll just take the money, or I'll just do whatever, you know, and we do it out of the emotion of the moment, spite, and so on and so forth. So anyhow, we were talking about all of that, and I said, well, you know, the whole linchpin of this scripture is this issue of the root of bitterness. Any root of bitterness springs up, and it causes you trouble. So I got out my computer, and I started looking things up, and I'm looking up definitions for bitter and bitterness, and I've got a whole page of stuff here just about that, how bitterness really is to... It's indignation or ill will as a result of a real or a perceived grievance. Yeah, that's right, boy, young man. To be bitter is to be cutting, to be filled with sharpness, to be cruel. It means to split or to bite. Oh, yeah, I'm building this big thing, you know, thinking that we can go on the area of not having offenses, and we can, you know, talk about forgiveness, because, you know, we're real big about talking about forgiveness and how important it is not to have unforgiveness. I'm going along. But in the back of my mind, I kept having this thing. I wonder if there are other scriptures that talk about bitterness and a root of bitterness that I ought to look up, you know. And so I'm kind of going along thinking, okay, I'll do that in a minute. But right now I'm doing definitions, Lord, you know. I'll go to the concordance after a while. Right now I'm using Webster's. And, of course, you know, you do all this stuff online. You don't actually have to have a stack of books. When I first started in ministry, I'd have to have a big table, and I had to have Strong's Concordance, which you have to be strong even to be able to lift the thing, because, you know, the thing's that thick and that big. And Young's Concordance, which is equally the same size. And you had to have Bible dictionaries and reference books and word study books, and you had to look it all up. These days, you drag and punch and tap and click, and you can do a lot of it on your phone or iPads or whatever, you know. But anyhow, so I'm at my computer and I'm looking up these definitions on Webster's, but I kept thinking, I need to check, open my PC Bible and check in the concordance, see if there's anything else about bitterness. Well, in the meantime, I look this thing about a root of bitterness, and then all kinds of sermon notes and things that people have and outlines and all of that's available online too. So I look at several of them, and they say things like, well, you know, a root is something that's unseen. It's in the ground. It's there. And you may not see it or know that it's there. In fact, it could be buried so deep you don't even realize it. But then after a while, something sprouts up. And I thought, boy, though, that's good. You know, that's good. And, I mean, most of the messages were that way. Well, then I opened one thing, and it said, one of the first things says, yeah, this concept of the root of bitterness also appears in Deuteronomy chapter 29. I think it's verse 18. And I thought, aha, I knew I was supposed to go and look and see. So I didn't read the guy's thing. I just opened the concordance and I started looking there. So let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 29. And this is actually verses 16 through 19. And this is sort of like giving you the punchline before the end of the story. But for the sake of time, we're going to do this. I wanted to call this message the attitude of revival, to take it out of the negative and to put it in the positive, because we've been hearing a lot about revival and God bringing revival and God doing revival and God doing revival among us and here at Life Changer Church, and a mighty things happening and signs and wonders and miracles. But there is an attitude of revival that causes the move of God to be present. And so to have an attitude of revival, sometimes we have to figure out what a non-attitude of revival is. And I guess you could figure that having a root of bitterness probably isn't too conducive, because it says anyone having a root of bitterness and falling short of the grace of God. See, it's by the grace of God that we have the move of God. It's by the grace of God that we have signs and wonders and miracles. It's by the grace of God that we're saved. It's by the grace of God that we have good things in our lives, not because we deserve them, but because of his grace. But if we'd rather have a root of bitterness, then we don't get our inheritance. If we'd rather have a root of bitterness, we don't get the grace of God. We don't get to participate in the things that the grace of God has bought. If we'd rather have our bowl of beans, we have to give up our birthright. So let's look at the scripture here. In Deuteronomy 29, 16 through 19, it says, "You remember what life was like in Egypt, and what it was like to travel through the territory of other nations. You saw their disgusting idols made of wood and stone, silver and gold." I guess God didn't like them very much, did he? They're disgusting idols. Even though they had silver and gold, even though they were dressed up to look real good and shiny and pretty, they were disgusting in the eyes of God. Are there things in our culture that are dressed up to look nice and pretty but underneath are disgusting. You know, one day I like to watch, you know, chick flicks. And I like to watch things that are fairly innocuous, you know. And so some of my favorites are like You've Got Mail and Sleepless in Seattle with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan and da-da-da-da-da. You know, and they're basically pretty clean, except in every one of them, they're all living with somebody. Hello? Let's put a pretty face on fornication. Let's put a pretty face on adultery. Let's put a pretty face on living together out of wedlock. I mean, it's there. I mean, the Holy Ghost spoke to me. It's like, okay, I really like this movie. You know, You've Got Mail. But she's living with the article, the guy who writes the articles, and he's living with the publisher. And then they get together in the end and presumably probably live together. Hello. Because it's the trend. I love to watch House Hunters. You know, it's a pretty innocuous show. But most of the people who are hunting houses aren't married. We're going to take the next step in our relationship and buy a house together. I don't know how many times I've heard that line. I'm telling you. Oh, and I could go even worse. I could get even meaner. I'm trying to stay pretty safe because some of you guys would, you know, you'd stone me if I got too close to you. So I'm trusting maybe the Holy Ghost will have to get there on his own, you know. But what I'm saying, there are disgusting idols in this world, and they may be carved out of beautiful wood. They may be carved out of beautiful marble and stone and look really nice and be polished and be shiny. They may be covered with silver and gold, but in God's eyes, they're disgusting. And I think there's lots of things in our culture that are that way because we're so much a part of it. We're inoculated to it. And so it doesn't inoculate it against it is what I'm trying to say. And so we've become so accustomed that it doesn't cause our spirits to be grieved. We just say, oh, well, that's just the way it is. And then sometimes about things in our own lives, we begin to make justification and accommodation to those things. Well, that's just the way that it is in our culture. And if you try to speak against it or preach against it, it's like, well, they're just being legalistic. They just got that old religious spirit. Because holiness, you know, and religious spirit tend to go together. And so, you know, so we make it sound and we put those words on it as if to have a quote-unquote religious spirit is somehow bad. Because we've made the context of it to be, well, I have freedom in Christ, so I can do what I want to do. Or I can think I have my right to be angry or upset or offended or gossip or have a spirit of division and strife and party spirit and idolatry in my life, and it's okay. Well, anyhow, so God says their gods are disgusting. You saw their disgusting gods made of wood and stone and silver and gold. Make sure that no man, woman, family, tribe standing here today. Now, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 29. 29, in context, follows 28. Chapter 28 is the blessing and the cursing. Y'all know that one because we love to claim those first 14 or 15 verses that talk about blessing. Bless God. I am in Christ. I am Abraham's seed. I am an heir according to the promise. If any man be in Christ, Christ has redeemed him from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. There's no curse on me. I've got all these blessings. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm blessed in my basket, blessed in my store. Blessed in the fruit of my barns, blessed in the fruit of my body, blessed is my cattle and my kine, and all of my fields and everything I have is blessed. And if an enemy comes at me one way, he'll flee from me seven ways. Woo! Glory to God! I'm a blessing person. And we love to quote those blessings. But of course, the blessings are for those who are adhering to the law. They're for those who are following God fully with their whole heart. They're for the ones who have no idolatry in their lives, but instead are worshiping God purely and according to his prescribed way. Correct? Okay, so he's saying, all of you who are standing here today, I've just told you all of these blessings. Now, okay, this can become quite tedious because, you know, it goes like from verse 18. I'm missing a page here somehow. But it goes like from verse 14 or something like that in the Bible to verse 64. Well, we have like a mere 14 or 15 verses of blessing. There are 50 verses of curses. Yikes! Hello. So you'll be cursed in this and cursed in that and cursed in your body and cursed in your cattle. And God will send curse and he'll send confusion on you. Oh my gosh. Until you are destroyed and perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings. You will have plagues that will cling to you. You will have consumption and fever and inflammation. Severe burning fever, sword and scorching and mildew. Yikes. Your heavens which are over you will be as bronze, which means there's no rain falling. And God's not too inclined to hear you because you're praying to other gods. But in the meantime, when you need a quick out, you'll say, oh yeah, help me, God, help me. Oh gosh. And the earth which is under you will be as iron, which means nothing's going to grow. It's not going to be soft and pliable and sprout up and fertile. Yikes! He'll change the rain of your land to powder and dust. He will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You'll go out against them and you will flee from them seven ways. So instead of the enemy coming at you and fleeing seven ways, now he's coming at you and you're fleeing seven ways. You will be, oh, here you go. Your carcasses will be as their food. He will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors and scab and itch. Yikes. Madness and blindness and confusion of heart. You will be oppressed and plundered continually, and no one will save you. And it goes on and on and on, I'm sorry to say. Pages, I have pages here. Pages of curses. All of this. So he's told them all the time, there will be a yoke on your neck. All of the curses on everything around you, your all of your cattle, all of your ground, your children, and so on and so on and so on. And he gets down to the very end. And he says, the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, even to the end of the earth. And there you'll serve other gods of wood and stone and so on. So you wanted them, you got them. The Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes. Yeah, and I'm coming against that one in the name of Jesus. Anguish of soul. You shall hang in doubt. Your life shall hang in doubt before you and fear day and night. Oh, gosh. In the morning you'll say, oh, gosh, I wish it was night. And at the night you'll say, oh, I wish it were morning. Because of fear, which terrifies your heart. And the Lord will take you back to Egypt in ships and in the way, and you shall never see it again. And this goes on and on. Okay, so bad things, bad things. So here in Deuteronomy 29, back to 29, he's saying, listen, now you've heard all of this stuff. I told you if you serve me, you'll be blessed. But if you choose to serve these disgusting other gods made of wood and stone and silver and gold, He said, make sure that no one standing here today turns from the Lord to worship the gods of the other nations. And here you go. Y'all looking? Y'all with me? This would be like a root that grows to be a bitter and poisonous plant. This would be, so what is the root of bitterness? It is the fruit that you get when you do not serve God. Hello. Another translation says, bitterness is the fruit. Oh, wait a minute. It says, those were my words. Make sure that there is no one among you here today. Oh, wait a minute. Let me go. Oh, here we go. A root of bitterness. Make sure that there is a root bearing bitterness and wormwood. That's what one of them says. So where it says here that when you serve these other gods, it says it would be like a root bearing bitterness and wormwood. Wormwood is a plant that is intensely bitter. And in the Bible, it is a type for affliction, remorse, and punitive suffering. When we serve other gods, when we adhere to the gods of this world, when we are influenced by them in our thinking and our behavior to following them, what springs up afterward is affliction. What springs up afterwards is remorse. We suddenly become, we are just overwhelmed because of the punitive suffering that comes. Does that make sense? The root is the sin. The fruit is bitter. This would be like a root that grows up. It says, a root bearing poisonous fruit. When you serve other gods, it's a root that springs up and brings forth poisonous fruit. One translation said hemlock. They liked wormwood to hemlock. Honey, if you eat something that's poisonous, what happens to you? You die. This would be death to you. He's saying when you serve other gods, it would be death to you. Pursue peace with all men and holiness without no one which should see, without which no one will see God, lest there be a root of bitterness springing up to trouble you, whereby many are defiled. Lest there be suffering. Pursue God and pursue his holiness, so that you don't fall under condemnation, so that you don't fall, so you don't, in our vernacular, open a door to the devil to exact a toll, a price against you. Right? So you make a place for the devil. So a root of bitterness is not being angry. A root of bitterness, now it can be that. Now we're going to go on here. Let's keep on. Let me do the last one. Another definition for root of bitterness is a root bearing bitter and poisonous fruit, like a root that grows to be a bitter and poisonous plant. So the root is sin. The root that is in the ground, the root that's in you, is to be turning away from God. After the gods of this world, no matter how pretty they look, no matter how shiny they are, no matter how valuable they appear to be, no matter how finely crafted, beautifully carved, polished, or gilded, the root is sin. And the bitterness is the fruit that it produces. What about Gideon? We've been talking about Gideon. Well, let's move on here, and I'll get back to Gideon in a minute. Okay. This would be like back to 29, the end of verse 18. This would be like a root that grows to a bitter and poisonous plant. Okay, hold on to your horses. Buckle your seat belts, tray backs and tables, and your seat backs and tray tables in their full and upright positions. Make sure there is no one here today who hears these solemn demands, yet convinces himself that all will be well with him, even though he stubbornly goes his own way. Did you hear that? There's a root of bitterness, this poison, this root, whose fruit is bitter, when you follow other gods. And what happens is that in the midst of that, make sure that anybody who is hearing that, these blessings and curses, who's hearing all this, make sure there is no one here today who hears these solemn demands, yet convinces himself, all is well, I'm fine, even though he stubbornly goes his own way. In another translation, it says, he says, I'm safe. Anyone have a translation that says that? I'm safe. I can't read that. Read it out, Pastor. When such a person hears the words of this oath, meaning the covenant, the blessing and curses for the covenant, that's the oath, and they invoke a blessing on themselves. They bless themselves. They're not getting God's blessing, but they're blessing themselves, and they're saying, I'm safe. I'm okay. Nothing wrong with me. I'm okay with God. Hey, we're tight. Even though they persist in going their own way, what happens? They bring disaster on themselves. The attitude of revival. Well, number one, the root of bitterness isn't just about being angry and having an offense. It's something that produces a bitter and horrible effect in your life. And that is when we harden our heart and we become stubborn and we think, I'm okay. So if we're going to foster the attitude of revival in Life Changer Church, what we have to determine is that we're going to tender our hearts. We are going to tender our hearts. Now, of course, the worship that they talked about in the Old Testament here that God's referring to is the sacrificial system. We're no longer under that sacrificial system. That is not the worship that God is looking for. Today, God is seeking people who will worship him in spirit and truth. You know, there are lots of times that I come in here and I got other things on my mind. I'm, you know, distracted. And we come to worship and I'm singing songs. And I'm not as engaged, you know, in my spirit. I mean, I have to make myself do that. You understand? And I think it's easy for us to do that. That we become, as it says in the book of Revelation, lukewarm. Well, let's look here for a minute at Gideon, then we'll look at a few other scriptures. What time is it, Pastor? I better. Okay, you know we can always do more next week because this is good. There's a lot of good stuff here. But let's look at Gideon, because we started out with Gideon, and Gideon is an example of this. Remember in chapter 6 of Judges, where we started out. It begins in verse 1. It says, "The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord." Okay, what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to Deuteronomy? Idol worship. Hello. They did, and what happens when you choose idols over God? It brings death. It brings curses, a whole huge, long list of curses. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord had delivered them from the hand of the Midianites. It had delivered them into the hand of the Midians for 7 years. Okay, and they were coming up again to besiege them. And then we look in verse 8, the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel. Say, hey, What's up with you? Verse 9, I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. And then verse 10, I'm the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites. Okay? So on and so forth. So here's Gideon. It's in verse 11. Gideon's out there. He's trying to get himself a little bit of wheat. He's down in the wine press, hiding from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appears to him in verse 12. Hail, mighty man of valor. And what does Gideon say? Now, this is key right here. Verse 13. And Gideon said to him, Oh, my Lord, if God is with us, why has all this evil befallen us? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us of? Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. What is this saying? It's saying that even though we know there was an idol in his father's house that he had to go and destroy, old Gideon is blaming God for his situation. Oh, Lord, if God's with us, where is he? Because I sure don't see him. Doesn't look like any of his promises are coming to pass for me. Why is all this evil in my house? Why am I having all these problems? Why are my finances so bad? Why won't the refrigerator fridge? Why'd the car break down? Why do I have it itching in my feet and a pain in my back and a problem in my head and grandma's sick and gloom, despair, and agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. It's a fine time to leave me, Lucille. I listened to so little country music when they first sang that song, and it said four hungry kids and the crop in the field. I thought it said 400 kids. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's he doing with 400 kids? I'd be crying too. Gideon's whining, and he's accusing God for his situation. And he says to the angel, well, mighty man of valor, yada, 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 but if God was with us, we wouldn't be in this fix. And what's God saying back? Well, if you didn't have idols in your front yard, hello? You see, what did it say in Deuteronomy? Don't worship these gods. And listen, if you do, and it's like it'll be like a bitter root, a root that'll spring up with a bitter fruit when you say, I'm okay. People come up on the line, oh, that's nice. Well, I really want to commend you because last week and this week, both you responded to the Lord. And see, that's the attitude of revival. The attitude of revival is when our heart is tender. When some little thing pricks us and we're like, oh God, I didn't know that was in me. Or, oh God, I need you. Or, oh God, I want to have that faith that I once had when I first believed. I want to have a first believing faith. You know, it says there are fears. There's fear. I was in fear. You ever have a circumstance that came up against you and fear came to you? But boy, the grace of God came and the word of God came and then you believed, and when the hour you first believed, something changed, because when you believed, you received the grace. When you received the grace, the fear was gone. Woo! Like Steve said, it isn't about looking back to when we first got saved. There's this time when we first believe about something. When grace comes. Well, we want that because it says in Hebrews, we don't want this root of bitterness springing up that causes trouble. What's trouble? Trouble's any kind of curse out of those 50-some and probably more besides. We don't want to have trouble or fall short of the grace of God. No, we want our inheritance. The grace of God is our inheritance. The grace of God is everything we need. The grace of God is that Jesus totally fulfilled all of that law so that when we're pursuing him and pressing into him and following him, we get the benefit of all of that. That's our inheritance. Do we want to give up our inheritance for a bowl of beans? Do we want to have an attitude like it talks about in Deuteronomy or like Gideon had, a stubborn attitude? I'm fine. I don't need to go up on that line. I'm fine. It's okay with me. I'm cool. God and I are tight. Doesn't matter. I kicked the dog going out of the house, yelled at my kids on the way here. I walked into church with a smile on my face. I sat here and I stood here and I raised my hand. My mind might have been 1,000 miles away from God, but I did. I stood here and I raised my hand. Looked like I was singing, like I was worshiping. See, the attitude of revival is to have a tender heart and to want more. It's like, oh God, I'm going to press into you. I'm going to press into you today. I'm going to believe like I did the first time. Like it was the first time. I'm believing today, Lord. I'm pressing in today, Lord. The church in Laodicea, what'd they say? They said, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm wealthy. I got everything I need. I'm all right. It's all cool with me. Everything's fine. I don't have any needs. God's taking care of me. I am blessed. I'm blessed. Every day that I live, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And Jesus said, you don't know how poor you are. You are wretched. You are poor. You are naked. You are blind. If you were smart, you'd ask me for some salve for your eyes so you could see. See, the spirit of revival is God put salve on my eyes and let me see. Don't let me be content where I am. Don't let me think that I'm okay. Don't let me deceive myself. Let me be continually crying out. And if I am okay, I want to be more okayer. I'm not going to be satisfied with where I am. I want to press into you, Lord. I want more of you, God. I want a more tender heart. I want my spirit to be so tender toward you that when I'm watching You've Got Mail, something rises up on the inside of me and says, adulterers and adulteresses, fornicators, what kind of blessing is there on that, even though you're marrying the millionaire? That's the values of this world. Even though it tugs at our romantic little heartstrings, girls. You know, understand what I'm saying? It's like, there's stuff there, but I want our consciences to be tender. Not so that we're like, I'm more righteous than you are, and I'm more holy than you are, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and I'm just a little goody-two-shoes, da-da-da-da. You know, we put all those kind of slams on labels kind of on things that, you know, when it's like, don't get too close to God, you might become a fanatic. But honey, becoming that close to God and shedding off a whole bunch of stuff that's clinging on to us is the attitude of revival, because when real revival comes, our hearts are so tender and so sensitive to God, we don't want an attitude, an action, a TV show, a song, a thought, a style of clothing, a hairdo, and anything. Piercings, tattoos, whatever, anything that would be offensive to God. We don't want it, and we won't justify it. Instead, we'll say, you know what, God, I don't know where my brain was when I did that. As I told you the story, one time I went in to buy some cologne at Macy's. It was Father's Day or something. And I went in to buy some cologne for Pastor, and they tried to sell me this. I guess it's Ed Hardy is the line or whatever. And it has these things and skulls on it. And I looked at the girl at the counter. I said, oh, yeah, nothing says love like a skull. And she looked at me like I was an alien and flew in from another planet. Because they put skulls on little babies' onesies. Oh, yeah, I'm going to put death right on my child. But we're so acculturated. if that's a word. I mean, we're so a part of the culture that we don't even see the evil around us. So what's a root of bitterness? A root of bitterness is when we take in all that stuff and it's a part of our lives and we're saying, well, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. I have a right, you know, to do whatever I want to do. And after all, it's my body. And I have a right to express myself any way I want. Self-expression, you wouldn't hinder me of self-expression because self-expression is God in this world. Well, let's not correct our children because we wouldn't want to hinder the expression of their poor little spirits. We'll just let them manifest every demon in hell that comes along and puts a thought or an idea in their heart. But bless God, we wouldn't want to spank them. We wouldn't want to correct them. We wouldn't want to tell them something that might wound their poor little self-image. Honey, that image has to be molded. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to change your image too. Do you understand? So I'm hoping you got something out of this. I have a whole lot more. Maybe Pastor will give me more opportunity to share. But I think the attitude of revival is tenderness, not stubbornness. And the root of bitterness is when we have a stubborn heart, according to Deuteronomy. See, I didn't know that was in there. I was all prepared to preach to you about having offenses. Honey, the one who's offended is God. In that deal. We may be offending him, and it's like our heart's so tender. We say, oh, God, I don't want to do anything. I don't want anything in my home. I don't want anything in my life. Bless God, I give up HBO. I'll give up Showtime. I'll give up whatever else it is. I'll give it up, Lord, because I want to be close to you. But see, what happens is when we start drifting away from God and we think we're okay, we're okay. And it's like we're not in the Word because, you know, it's in through the Word that the Holy Spirit begins to speak to us about some of these things and our attitudes and our posture toward God and our attitude toward one another and our attitude toward the world and our service and our sacrifice and da-da-da. And we get away from that and we get away from prayer and we sort of get distant in worship and we get like Gideon where we have things in our lives and we start blaming God. Well, God, this is your fault. And once you have an offense against God, you distance yourself even more. And then we don't really care about coming to church and we really don't want to go to connection group and I'm so tired and I really don't want to do that and I don't get anything out of it anyway. And part of the reason we don't get anything out of it anyway is because we're so distant from God that we couldn't hear his spirit speak to us if he had a huge sound system and a megaphone and he was shouting at us. And yes, and then we blame God and we take up an offense against God like Gideon did. Hey, if God's with us, why are we in this mess? Where are all the mighty miracles we've heard about? Have any of us ever said that out of our little old religion? Oh God, we want the miracles that happened in the days gone by. We want to see it. Yeah, but we don't want to sacrifice and spend hours in prayer because, oh, that's boring. I'd much rather watch NCIS 40 episodes in a row with death and killing and murder and thieving and deception and adultery and sexual perversion. Hello? And we wonder why we don't have signs, wonders, and miracles. We wonder why we have curses. Because we're bringing death. I mean, how many forensic shows are there? Law and Order. What's a special victims unit? All about sexual perversion, for the most part. NCIS, two or three different kinds of CISs. We're in New York, we're in Miami, we're in Las Vegas. Bones, we're digging up bodies. How many things about death can we have in our lives and then wish that we had life when we come here for 1 hour a week? We say, I'm okay. Me and God, we're okay. Yeah, we're okay. It's all good. It's all cool. What was the root of bitterness? The root of bitterness was thinking, I'm okay. And yet I've been drifting away from God toward the gods of this world. And the fruit that's being produced is poisonous. And even though it's a poison fruit, we just keep thinking it's all right. And that's what Gideon did. You know, hey, problem's not mine. Till God said, oh, well, by the way, you know, there's this little issue of the idol in your front yard. We're going to change things around here. We're going to have to change some things around here. See, and I think there is an attitude of revival here, and I want to encourage that. I don't want to beat you guys up, but I want to say we have to be careful. We have to really be praying and asking God, God, make my heart tender. Oh, God, even if I don't need to be up on the line, I want to come up on the line. You know, when they had the revival in Brownsville, I mean, they were preaching hot and hard and heavy, and, you know, you could feel the flames of fire licking your feet. But when they started singing, come to the mercy seat, people would run down the aisles to the front of the church. People came from all over the world. Pastors, leaders. People had been in church forever, but their hearts had gotten cold toward the Lord. But still they were hungry for something. And they were like, I want to see the miracles of old. I don't want to be living under the oppression. What did it say in Deuteronomy 28? You'll be oppressed. Your enemies will, you know, come up against you and overtake you. You'll be planning food that you won't eat. All the things that were in that curse were what Gideon was living out. Yet he didn't see that the root of the problem was related to their condition before God. So I just want to encourage you. Ask God to make your heart tender. Ask God to give, and if it is tender, Lord, I want to be more tender. Lord, make me more sensitive to you. Lord, give me a hunger for your word. Lord, give me a thirst for you. Lord, we want more of you. We want more of you in Life Changer. Because one of the things that happens is when you respond to God, it frees it up so other people can respond to God. What was the word of the Lord this morning? Children, you honor me when you respond to me. You honor me when you praise me. You honor me when you come up and say, Lord, I want something more. I mean, I'm interpreting a bit, but that was the heart. It happened after we were here in the front. It happened after Steve gave that word. It's not just the hour I first believed, like being saved, although that's a part of it, return to your first love. But it's also, I'm believing now. I'm having a now relationship with you. And so the word of the Lord came. I honor you when you honor me. And I think that's the word of the Lord from Deuteronomy and from Hebrews. That we're not going to have a root of bitterness. And bitterness not being, you know, anger and offense, but bitterness, the root of bitterness being, we're not going to eat the bitter fruit of being away from God. Instead, we're going to eat the fruit of his blessing. We're going to eat the fruit of righteousness. We're going to have the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to have his presence here because we make a place for it in our hearts and in our homes and when we walk through that door. Amen.